Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh who?
There are only 9 2-0 teams. Just 9. After this weekend, there will be far fewer because there are multiple games involving 2-0 teams playing one another. And one of those games is in Minnesota on Sunday, noon kick, right here on Sports Radio 610. And one of those 9 teams, Seth C. Payne,
yeah,
is your Houston Texans.
Okay.
Who's and it's the other Friday.
It certainly can't be the Sam Darnold-led Minnesota Vikings.
No, I just said the two undefeateds going against each other.
I'm having a hard time digesting that.
Minneapolis.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I was told by my local radio host that Sam Darnold wasn't that good.
It's a long season, man.
I'm actually going to take on the voice of at least a few people that had been texting us back and forth about how awesome Sam Darnold was.
Oh,
was
he on our text
on the text
page?
Line, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I hadn't seen those.
Yeah.
Maybe
now, to be fair, though, he made it like a Sam Darnold versus Davis Mills thing, which you still don't know about that.
Because I said Davis Mills is better than Sam Darnold. You know what? Screw that. I stand by that. Davis Mills is better than Sam. It's two games.
People were awful. People thought the Patriots were kind of plucky after two games. How do they look after three games, Sean?
Crappy.
Old man Rodgers took him to the woodshed.
Yeah, they took me to
that,
the woodshed.
Sonny.
Took me to the woodshed.
Yeah.
Plus six.
Yeah, you drank the Kool-Aid.
I did. A little bit. Plus, Aaron Rodgers is annoying. I should never bet based on how people annoy me. That's a quick way to the poorhouse.
I'll tell you what.
It's just in. A lot of annoying people are really good at football.
Okay. So, Aaron Rodgers last night, for the first time in his career, throws a touchdown pass to a receiver who was drafted in the first round.
Garrett Wilson. Yeah.
Nuts. He's thrown one to Mercedes. What's his face there?
Lewis.
The tight end. Lewis. Yeah. So, it wasn't the first rounder in general, but that's the first tight end.
No, wide receiver.
Yeah. Everybody, I got in at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So not from drinking or anything, just from an airplane.
Yeah.
And
it's been a lot of fact checking on the show today.
I'm going to tell you one thing. There's my alarm, just in case. That was my emergency alarm. I slept on the couch in the other room. Sean, I was annoyed with you because you woke me up at 6:15.
Yeah.
Because you didn't wake me up. I was up. I had texted you. I'm up. Delta's internet.
You were annoyed that I was following the instructions you gave me.
Yes. Well, that I texted you.
You texted me that you were up already. I could have seen you naked.
Said the jig is up.
Yeah.
So just real quick.
Yeah.
Why did nobody tell me how much superior Delta Wi-Fi is to United?
Okay.
Last night I flew Delta.
Garrett
I'm a United
Wilson
guy.
To Wi-Fi. Yeah.
I usually fly United. I'm a United guy. You know, I'm loyal, and plus I like getting treated like a kind of like a big shot because I'm
because you got all those
my
points.
Status. Yeah. I had to take a Delta flight earlier this week, and it's like I'm working in an office in like 2005 or so. That's how fast the internet was.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, trying to do my show prep, flying back on the old dial-up.
Really?
Yeah. Like this is. I had just worthless garbage internet on the way to Denver, and then from Denver here, no internet whatsoever.
Did they? Because you were flying back. For those who don't know, you were flying back. You were taking your kid to college. In Oregon. So you were flying back here.
Yeah.
From there,
yeah.
Did they walk down the aisle, the flight attendants handing out DVDs to watch? Hey, would you like to watch a DVD?
They're like, I dubbed a VHS tape.
Yeah.
I did that thing where you put some tape over the hole so the machine lets you dub it. You like Spies Like Us?
Do they still have, you fly way more than I do, do they still have the phones built into the back of the seat
I
anymore?
I haven't seen it in a while.
I haven't either. That would have been funny. That would have been funny, though, if people were using them on there and you were just in some sort of time warp. It wasn't just Delta. It was everybody on the plane was living in 2004 or something like that.
Real quick, then the one travel story before we get back to Kikuchi and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we were flying out of Denver. And I ended up sitting down. I got the blessed enough to get the emergency exit row.
Yeah.
And but was at had a guy
blessed.
Sitting in the middle of me.
Yeah.
There's three of us fellas, and a guy in the middle was really nice, probably about 55, 60 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we started having a nice chat. Like this before the plane was even taken off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I was just thinking the other day about how I never really talked to anybody. He's telling me about how his dog has cancer and everything.
Oh wow.
We're really connecting.
That's heavy.
Yeah. And then by the time they closed the doors. And we were getting ready to take off. The flight attendant said, was standing in our area, and you know, I had established a rapport with him as well. Mm-hmm. He said, "Hey guys, you know, there's a couple empty rows here. If one of you wants an aisle seat." And, you know, the nice guy and I, we've been having a nice conversation, which doesn't happen that much anymore. I was like, I turned to him and I was like, you should probably think about taking that. I'm not going to pass up a chance at a middle seat. I volunteered for him. I was like, hey, right here. He's going to take that aisle seat.
So you were having a nice conversation.
Yeah.
And he probably thought the same. Like, well, this guy is really... I've really needed a shoulder to cry on about cancer-ridden dog.
Yeah.
And as soon as empty seats came up, you basically told the guy to get the hell out of here.
I volunteered him, yeah.
Dude's like, I guess the conversation wasn't that good.
He was a good guy. Come on.
You should probably...
And that was before I knew I wasn't going to have any internet on the flight, that they were going to mess with my professionalism.
Yeah. Had you known the internet was going to be that bad, would you have unvolunteered that guy and said, come on back? Enjoying our conversation.
I want to be able to use my computer and do everything and get the show prep and everything. So, yeah, I should have been like, hey, man, I thought things over.
When Seth's out on a conversation, he's out on a conversation.
I wasn't out on him at all.
No.
Come on.
Yeah,
we're middle-aged dudes. Yeah. You know, yeah, elbow room is at a premium on these flights.
You should take that seat. Poor guy. If he had a healthy dog, I would have been like, that's, yeah, the fact that his dog was sick kind of makes you a heel in this situation.
Like some kid comes up to you when you're trying to pledge a fraternity or something, and was like, hey, you know, there's just, you seem like a guy that really likes residence halls.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think you're going to cut it.
It's the best,
yeah.
Hey, so if you're out there.
You know what?
If you're out there, handsome stranger, just know it wasn't you. It was my selfishness and my career-drivenness.
You should become an RA. That's what you should become, kid.
Yeah.
Not you.
I thought you were saying me.
No. I'm still having the hypothetical conversation with the pledge.
No, not be an RA.
Yeah.
I had a friend that's a coach in high school. He just started. He's like 42 years old.
Yeah.
Single, and he said the other day some teenager came up to him and asked for his social media. He was walking by and she's like, hey, what's your Instagram handle or whatever.
Boy.
Keeps walking.
That's the right answer.
You don't even near nope, and just kept walking.
No, oh my god. What a treacherous world that has to be. Thursday night football last night, you mentioned it. The two teams the Texans play not imminently, but you know, not way off in the future either.
Yeah,
they play the Patriots in week 6. So 3 weeks from now, we'll be doing a Football Friday in anticipation of Gerard Mayo, Jacoby Brissett, presumably, and the Patriots. Because it feels like the Patriots are just throwing Jacoby Brissett out there this year so Drake May doesn't get killed. That's a bad offense. That's
bad,
a terrible offense.
Yeah. It's getting to be... it's weird. I know that there's all kinds of discussion going on about people playing cover two as much as they are or whatever, and defenses maybe being ahead of the offense
at this point. And banning too high safeties.
Yeah, was that a joke? Did we ever figure out?
No. He was serious. I watched the...
Mel Kiper wants him to ban too high safeties.
He was Kipering, man. Yeah, like he was...
You know what's annoying about that?
He wasn't wanting to ban it, but he was suggesting that they make the safeties play a little further, closer to the line of scrimmage.
Oh, like they're only half
almost
to play
like
in a certain
banning
window.
The shift.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
What I mean? Like,
I'm kind of into that suggestion.
That the safeties have to play within a certain distance of the line of scrimmage.
If you wanted offense, if the defense had to all line up in a 10-yard window, like they all had to be compressed in a 10-yard window, you want to bring back the air attack.
Here was the problem with Kiper. Maybe we'll go get the audio. But the problem with Kiper's argument was he's like, I like the deep shots. You know, like back in the day, like Daryl Elmonica. And he's naming all these quarterbacks that I guarantee you
don't have nearly the same passing yardage. Yeah, what an idiot.
No, he's naming all these old, like, Joe Namath, Daryl LaMonica, Len Dawson, like all these guys from the 60s, where they used to air it out all the time, but B, they throw 25 interceptions a year.
Yeah, it wasn't, they had 50% completion percentage, like 3,000 yards passing. It was not an air raid.
I was willing to listen until that was his argument. I'm like, God.
I like incompletions deep. Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of stupid. Back to Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers was getting a lot of love last night. We're looking at the TV in the studio right now. Headline, Aaron Rodgers shines as Jets blow out Patriots. I thought he was good. He was good on the scale of somebody who we know had an Achilles tear last year.
Yeah.
You know, like, otherwise, it wasn't a particularly remarkable game for Aaron. I mean, 24-3, and they did some good things in that game. But that's a bad Patriots team. Like, you get up on them, you're if you get up by a touchdown or two on them, you're going to win 24-3.
No, I think it's probably one of those things where, all right, we're off, we're on our road trip, and we're in the old school bus, and it's running.
Yeah.
We're
gonna,
like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
we're
yeah,
humming
yeah.
along. Let's sing a traveling song.
And it's the
song.
Jets, where the bar for quarterback play is
yeah.
fairly low.
Right, right.
Know?
So are we actually roadworthy, and are we traveling somewhere right now? Yes, we are.
Yeah.
And we'll
that's
see. We'll
was.
See if there's any problems along the way. But
yep.
so far, so good.
Yeah, that's what it was last night. Like, it didn't get neat. Like, okay, neither of these teams scare me. Maybe I'm being a little too cavalier about our 2-0 football team.
Yeah.
But I'm not scared by the Patriots. And the Jets are they're a talented football team that in New York will certainly, I would guess, this version of the Jets will be a small favorite against the Texans, but they don't scare me.
Yeah.
Like, the Chiefs still scare me a little bit.
This week's going to be fun and interesting, hopefully in a good way. But that Vikings defense is, it's impressive in how disciplined they are and all the different looks they're showing. And you could tell, especially by the way Bobby Slowick was talking about it, and we'll play this in a little bit, just like how much he respects Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator,
yeah.
and how he's got these guys playing, including
yep.
Jonathan Greenard. Revenge tour.
Yep.
He's on his bus.
He is, man.
He's gonna come along into his little bus
him
up
and
there
Cashman,
in Minnesota.
Man. Yep, him and Cashman. Astros 9-0 when you say Kikuchi starts. Mariners won last night also. Astros beat the Angels 3-1 if you didn't stay up for that. John Singleton with the big hit.
Yeah.
Two-run double in the eighth inning to bring home the winning runs. Hader comes in, gets the save. They're getting a lot of production. I don't have a lot of production, but they're getting moments out of some of these guys they've picked up post-trade deadline.
Yeah.
You know, like Kikuchi was a trade deadline guy. That's been an awesome pickup.
Yeah.
Kudos to Dana Brown. Hector Neris came in
yeah.
in this game last night. He's given them some good
mm-hmm.
innings. Jason Hayward had a sliding catch to end the game. They've been getting stuff out of these others.
Hayward's got that
up.
He's got that kind of devil may care in the outfield attitude, the way like Mariznick or George
he's
Springer
good.
Those guys did. Yeah, it's
that's
fun to watch him. He really gets
pickup.
After it. Yeah.
Yep, that's a good pickup. So the Astros win last night 3-1. Lead still 5. Magic number is 5. Combination of Astro wins and Mariners losses to get the AL West championship again. So, there you go.
Really blew it with that guy, but he's got good internet at home, too.
You're still thinking about
yeah.
that guy, huh?
You seem pretty well off. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, he's, yeah.
He was sitting in the exit row, Sean.
It's the dog that's getting me in this whole thing. The poor guy was probably like,
oh, and I was the one that actually kind of probed about the dog.
And then you kicked him out?
We were telling stories about, you know, like the God. Travel issues we'd had and
you're
everything.
You're an evil man.
Yeah.
At least you were yesterday.
Yeah.
You chose violence.
He had mentioned that, like, yeah, I had to take my dog to a procedure. And I waited. I let it sit for a while. I was like, so how was your dog, man?
Yeah.
And then we were having that conversation. And then I said, hey, you should probably go move. So, dude, he knew the deal. He knew the deal.
Are
we're
you
both
sure?
tall guys.
I'll trust
yeah.
you on this one that he knew the deal, but I don't know.
Probably
man.
Went home and confided to his wife about it.
That's
like,
nefarious.
Oh, I just felt rejected.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's get you ready for the Vikings. We'll six pack this thing. Six things to look for in the game on Sunday. We will go through this. We'll hear from Bobby Slowick as well, as Seth just mentioned. We'll do that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Coach Middlescreen brings up a good point, Seth. If you're just getting in your car right now, and if you're just tuning in, Seth flew here last night from Oregon, got in very late, but on the flight you were on, you were sitting next to a guy and you were having a pleasant conversation before takeoff.
Right, right. And we're sitting on the plane. We were sitting on the right. ground a while. You know, these late night flights are always waiting for stragglers to come in. Yeah, the
yeah.
connecting flights.
Not you guys. You were on the plane ready to go. You and this guy.
And it was one of those things where I was like, you know, I never hardly ever talk to anybody on the plane anymore because we're all in our headphones
yeah.
and have heads buried.
Let's give it a shot.
And we just started. Yeah. Well, it wasn't forced or anything. We had a nice, we were having a nice conversation.
Right.
He was telling me about his dog that that has cancer.
Yeah.
He's telling me about his kids and his life, his childhood growing up in Oregon. It was
okay.
nice.
Okay, so it was a nice, pleasant conversation yeah. that involved a soon-to-be-deceased dog.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the flight attendants said that, hey, guys, this is not a full flight.
Yeah.
These rows over here are going to be open.
Yeah, if somebody wants an aisle or window, and
yeah.
to set the stage, I'm sitting on the window seat. He's
yeah.
sitting in the middle. My new friend is sitting in the middle.
Yeah.
And I kind of waited about, I don't know, like 3/4 of a second for him to say something.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. So I was like, oh, you know, he could use it. And I said, you should probably take that. You can get an aisle seat or a window seat.
So this guy that you had bonded with so closely.
Yeah, yeah.
Not close enough to where he can sit in that middle seat.
As soon as I saw a better lily pad to hop on, or more appropriately for him to get off my lily pad.
Right.
I kicked him right off the lily pad.
Okay,
yeah,
you did.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah.
Now, and I kind of took you to task just based on the content of your conversation that the guy's probably down in the dumps about his dog.
No, well, we're getting a little bit deep, yeah.
You
yeah,
were, okay, yeah. yeah. So that's yeah. so... So he might have felt you guys, there was something there. Not like it was a love connection or anything.
No, we
like,
had a rapport. Yeah,
yeah. rapport. That's
Could
a good way to put
with
it.
This guy.
Middle screen's taken up for you. He said, I'll bet you he didn't want to feel bad and say he wanted to leave, so you did the honorable thing and allowed him to leave.
It is. It's a kind of a weird thing. It was almost
He's probably feeling the same way.
Ironically enough, the metaphor I would choose is a train leaving the station or something. You know, you're kind of like, oh, we're having this nice set, but I got to go.
Yeah.
I got to go. You're my
train's
opportunity
leaving.
To go. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He gets it. You've only got so much room. I'm getting rid of friends at this point.
I joke about that all the time. My circle's pretty tight. I'm kind of good. Yeah.
What do I need? What do I need? Social kind of. Don't listen to the studies, kids. It's a social. A lot of us are meant to just be alone a lot. Okay, we enjoy it that way.
Let's get into this. I got my six pack here of things for this Vikings game on Sunday. I want to bounce these things off you. I want to start with number one. Turn that up, Ben. There we go. Sam Darnold, got to swarm this guy. We're going to do our first ever circle of swarm in the 7 o'clock hour.
That's
you
right.
got to swarm Sam Darnold. I've got numbers.
Okay.
I got numbers.
Oh, number me up, Sean.
I'm going to number you up.
Mm.
Darnold, this is courtesy of John Crumpler. Darnold passer rating, 111.8. 111.6. Sixth in the NFL.
Thank God you corrected that.
However, Darnold passer rating without play action or screens.
Ooh.
Down to 97.9. 13th in the NFL. Darnold passer rating under pressure without play action or screens. He is 25th in the league.
25th when he
you
passes
You take away
it.
The gimmicky stuff.
Yeah. It is.
And he's like, Sam Darnold
he
all
is,
over.
You got to remember, he is. It's not like he's a super athlete, but he's pretty athletic. He had a lot of traits that got him drafted as high as he did. And he had a couple plays last week where he pulled the ball down and ran on third down. So, I mean, it's almost getting to be annoying because it's kind of like turnovers every week in the NFL anymore. There are very few quarterbacks who aren't pretty good athletes. And so now, just like you say, turnovers are the key to this victory. It's also, you got to be sure you corral this guy. And
keep him in the pocket.
It's 3 weeks in a row now we've been saying this about steadily less athletic quarterbacks, but still athletic enough.
And we'll say it about Trevor Lawrence, and we'll say it about Josh Allen.
I won't say it with Trevor Lawrence as much as I would say with Sam Darnold, just because I think Sam Darnold still is, he's more of a threat with his legs sometimes than his arm.
Yeah.
He's got, now this is one of those stats, early in the season it means nothing at all, but he has 4 touchdowns to 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
Which, all right, what's the nature of the interceptions? Well, he threw one to Fred Warner last week that you credit Fred Warner for making an incredible play on the ball, like he's doing Fred Warner things out there. But I'm not so sure if the ball had been complete, if the intended receiver wouldn't have lost a kidney on it.
Yeah.
Like he was throwing him into danger. And possibly not just a huge collision.
Had a couple other interception worthy throws in that game last week too.
So, and even on some of his
Darnold.
This is a classic. All right, as Sloak pointed this out yesterday, like all these offenses they take on their own. It's not like they're all running Shanahan's offense, and yet Sam Darnold has been throwing to wide open receivers a lot. They've been getting them. They've been scheming him open. So when it comes to the Texans have a lot of familiarity with a lot of the coaches on this staff, and especially on the offensive side of the ball. So, okay, what do we know that O'Connell likes to do, and you know what's he doing with Sam Darnold that maybe we can keep these guys from being as wide open?
All right, number two, what do we do with this Justin Jefferson guy? How do you think D'Amico Ryans and Matt Burke attack the Justin Jefferson situation? They will probably be without Jordan Addison.
Yeah.
They are without T.J. Hockenson. He's still on injured reserve. So they are down some weapons here. And Justin Jefferson is nursing a quad injury right now.
I think so far so good in that, you know, D'Amico blitzed way more than he's ever blitzed before last week.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was because I think they felt really good about Stingley on the number one receiver there.
Yeah.
Moore.
D.J. Moore.
And so I think they do it again this week.
You think
I think
so?
They like Kamari Lassiter, but they want to still try to keep it as simple as and digestible as possible for him. And they just really trust Derek Stingley. And now that he's gotten a little taste of it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think Stingley's up for this too, man.
D'Amico's a guy. He's like, I've never had coffee before. What's it like?
Dude.
I'll put a bunch of sugar in it and a bunch of cream. Ooh, I feel good.
Yeah.
I think he got a little taste of caffeine last week.
That's a matchup. Stingley and Justin Jefferson, like, that's a matchup that you wished was like a split screen that you could choose to watch the whole time.
Do you have, I'm trying not to look at my computer because I know I'm in a sleep-deprived state. I don't want to get distracted. Do you have this stat on there about Sam Darnold? 20% of his passing yardage this season has come on one 97-yard touchdown pass.
Oh, I didn't know that. I wondered about that.
Jefferson.
Yeah. In which Justin Jefferson, it was a nice throw.
Yeah.
But Justin Jefferson was juking all, like if you followed, if they did a GPS on that touchdown,
he probably
ran about 150 yards.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson, that was all Justin Jefferson.
Yeah,
that was credit to Sam Darnold, et cetera. What a great comeback story at all that. But,
that's a great stat.
20% of his yardage this year is on one play to Justin Jefferson.
I did not have that stat. That's a great stat.
It's one that, maybe it makes you feel better about Sam Darnold, but it should also be a reminder that Justin Jefferson is paid the way he is for a reason.
Yes, yes, absolutely. All right, number three. It might be Cam Akers' time. No Joe Mixon, no Damian Pierce again yesterday. They did get the two centers back. Juice Scruggs and Jared Patterson both practiced. That's good.
Growing.
Okay, I think he's back from the growing.
Juice got his growing back.
Cam Akers, though, maybe getting a lot of touches come Sunday if Damian Pierce and Joe Mixon are out. Here's Bobby Slowick yesterday on what Akers does for the offense.
Yeah, he's great vision. He's been running, Ram zone scheme he came from. He did the same thing in Minnesota. He's really good at reading that. We call it riding the wave, finding the right hole to hit. He always plays under control. When he sees it, he hits it. He finished physical, and he has really good contact balance, And I'd say those are the things that jump out with Cam. You pretty much see that every carry.
We talked in the open, late in the open, previous segment about Dana Brown and some of the little pickups that he's made. This is like a Hector Nearest, Jason Hayward pickup right here by Nick Caserio.
Right.
We're all of a sudden like, wow, we may need contributions from this guy.
It wasn't a marquee pickup or anything, but it was notable because of the name.
Yes.
The name Cam Akers.
Yeah,
aside from being a really cool name in and of itself.
Right.
If he was a kid in your class that you're teaching, you'd be like, oh, that's a cool name.
Cam
but
Akers.
He's Cam Akers of the phenomenal rookie year a few years back.
Yep.
So,
and a good training.
This
camp,
is where
too.
I get, honestly, I love Bobby's press conferences, but I feel like I just want to turn it into a podcast because at this point I would have been like, hey, didn't you just say that there's not really that many similarities as people think between the Rams and the 49ers and the Vikings offenses as ours? And yet, man, that's the one thing. I think he thinks it's overblown sometimes, but it's the outside zone and being good at that and all the things that it sets up in the passing game, that is very much a common theme. And I think the thing that the coaches from, like, Kevin O'Connell or elsewhere do it, guys that are in that Shanahan tree do, and we don't know about Bobby yet, is that they scheme it, they coach it really well. It's one thing to say, we're going to run about a bunch of outside zone run plays. Cool. We've seen that before with the Texans trying to do that.
Yes,
it doesn't. We saw it last year.
Yep.
But it is a common theme, and it is, even though the 49ers got worked over last week by the Vikings offense, I think that there's a lot of value in seeing that in practice day after day for the Texans defense.
Yep. I want to get to this one. This is the one I wanted to get your take on the most. Brian Flores versus CJ Stroud. Here's Bobby Slowick yesterday on Minnesota Vikings defensive coordinator of chaos, Brian Flores.
Yeah, that's actually, it's funny you say that. Our big thing this week is the challenge about this defense is it's almost like he does everything he can to try to eliminate coaches from the equation. He creates a lot of chaos, but then behind it all, they're fundamentally sound. They run, they hit, they do all the things the defense needs to do. And for us, like we strained this week, the biggest thing for us is our guys got to go out and they got to own what they're doing. And we have to play well against this defense, and our quarterback is leading the charge on that. And he knows that
we're
if
good.
We block well.
Yeah. Yeah, we're good.
Okay, Bobby, we're in a podcast here, Bobby. Let me jump in for a second.
Yeah.
So you're hogging the mic. Okay, you saw my eyes light up.
I know, that's why I wanted to get to it.
I think both with Eberflus last year, with Chicago, or last week, the head coach of the Bears and defensive coordinator, and with Brian Flores, they do that thing that so many defensive coordinators want to do, but you just, can I trust my guys to do it, and can I coach them up? disguising your look pre-snap. The Bears do a really good job, and we saw it in the game versus the Texans on a couple negative offensive plays. They shift right before the snap. The defensive line all shifts. And it screws with offensive linemen so bad because they are, you know, they got all these things going on in their brains, these offensive linemen do, about their responsibilities and what the front they're seeing and everything. And then when you shift a quarter second before the snap, it just screws everything. I mean, somebody's going to screw up on the offensive line. One of those five guys is going to screw up. Flores does that as well with all 11 guys. It's that all defensive coordinators know that if you can disguise beforehand, it really, really helps. The problem is usually there's too many guys on your defense that will disguise and then not get back to their spots they're supposed to be at or don't understand. You want to have guys that understand what the weaknesses are. Like if you're a linebacker faking that you're going to blitz, but also you got to cover the flat.
Yep.
Like you got to maybe know when, okay, in this formation I got to cheat back a little bit. I can't be disguising this. And not all teams have guys that are intellectually capable of doing that. Yeah. The Vikings do. So it is when Bobby says take the coaches out of it. I love the way he said that. I think if we had him on the podcast, I think it's because Flores does a good job of not really showing tendencies because those guys can execute out of multiple different looks and personnel packages. That if you're Slowick, you're like, well, all right, I know they're in nickel or they're in dime or they've got this guy aligned here and it doesn't matter because they can run anything out of it.
Yeah.
And then also just because they are so well coached, they're fundamentally sound. I don't think this defense doesn't really have any glaring weaknesses or opportunities.
Yeah.
Like if you're an offensive coordinator, you're thinking, okay, who are we going to attack? How are we going to attack? And I think for Bobby, it's probably harder this week to really just figure out, like, yeah, this is what we really need to hammer. If we can just do this, we're going to win this game.
You got to have multiple answers for one play. Yeah.
So it comes down to the players on the field and CJ getting them into there. CJ picking up on perhaps a few tells.
Yep.
I mean, that's because no matter how good you are on defense, there's always a couple guys that have tells. And you know when this guy's actually blitzing and when he's not. We know that CJ does a lot of research above and beyond what most quarterbacks do.
He listens to podcasts.
He knew about what
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen Johnson was doing in one particular look because he saw it on the Richard Sherman podcast.
That's right. All right, we'll do these quick. Number five, kicking game, Kaimi. This is going to be a game that might come down to field goals again. Kaimi's been amazing. AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. He's got the medallion to prove it, or whatever we're calling that thing.
Whatever the hell. It's a big old hunk of jewelry.
Gigantic $100,000 H. And then finally, my prediction, Texans 23, Vikings 20. That's what I'm going with in this game.
Okay.
Going Texans by three. They're a 2-point favorite right now.
Is it two? I thought it was down to 2.5. It was down to two.
It's down to two last night. It may be, you know.
That one is impressive because, you know, you factor in the 2.5 points. These days they go about 2.5 points on the road that you get deducted off. And so basically Vegas and or the betting public driving it at all just looks like people really like. I think what it comes down to is people trust C.J. Stroud. They don't trust Sam Darnold.
I think that's exactly what it is. On a neutral field, this would be Texans by like five.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I 100% agree with you that that's what that is. Let's get to headlines. Let's circle back to the Astros. They win last night, so that was good. We've got injury news with the Texans that we'll get to as well. And, man, Shohei last night. This is headline worthy in Houston and anywhere else. Holy crap. Shohei Ohtani last night. If you haven't heard, stay tuned. We'll have it for you in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you on a football Friday, but we will start off with Astros here. The Astros win last night 3-1 over the Los Angeles Angels. A John Singleton 2-run double in the eighth inning brought home the runs that were the difference in this game. So they get the series with the Angels started off the same way they ended up with the Angels last week after sweeping them, a 3-1 win. The Astros now 9-0 when Yusei Kikuchi starts a game for them. This has been a really, really good pickup by Dana Brown, especially considering how up in arms the fans and some of the media. Admittedly, I was a little side-eye at how much they gave up for a pitcher whose ERA was around 9 the previous couple of months.
There's so many things about this Astros team that really, when you look at the inevitability of the Astros and how they've been so good since June 1st, so much of it comes back to, all right, this is the organization that gets the best out of pitchers.
Yeah.
They remain that. I was worried about it early this year when everybody was falling apart. The combination of this pitching coaching and analytics staff, and Alex Bregman as the assistant pitching coach, right, is they are just absolutely phenomenal.
Yep, yep, they are. Here's Joe Espada on Yusei Kikuchi last night.
You know, what, 9-0 when he pitches? You know, he uses all his pitches. You know, he throws strikes. He's a competitor. You know, the guys love playing behind him. You know, we expect to win every single time he's on the mound. He just kind of have brought a different, you know, when he goes in the mound, it's just his attitude. It's just, you feel it, the energy, you feel it. So he's been really, really good. But the only mistake he made was that first hitter of the game, and yeah, after that.
Yeah, the very first time. Sounds like you're
Taylor Ward, that was it.
They're using the fastball, the slider combo more now, and like, yep, there he goes. Yordan doesn't even turn around.
That one just landed on the
Ward
train.
Taylor Ward, like Yordan. If you wanted to read into it, you're gonna be like, oh, Yordan was pouting out there, didn't even turn around.
And then they show the side view, like, okay, that would have been wasted energy.
Yeah, no, Kikuchi, man. He is a killer.
Yeah,
he's a killer, man. He came in, he heard the noise, he knew about the scrutiny, and he wanted to be something different. He got here, and Julia and everybody else has talked about how much he really loved it immediately because he saw how many resources they have, what the culture of the clubhouse was like in terms of all the pitchers helping each other. And he just, it's like, you know what, Sean? It's like all of a sudden you send a kid off to, there's some little genius off to some college where he gets intellectually tested for the first time in his career. And all of a sudden he's a Nobel Prize winner 2 years
later. Right, right,
Kikuchi might win the Nobel Prize 2 years hence.
Well, that would be something.
Let's dive into stereotypes.
Do you have the Cy Young on your radar as a career goal? Like, no. God, Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
Ocho asked us this earlier this week, and it looks like he's doing it again right now. He wants the Astros to bring back Kikuchi after this year.
Do it. Tell me right now. Bregman or Kikuchi?
You cannot have
a Bregucci. Well, it's got to be Bregman or Kikuchi.
I need to see what the numbers are on the deals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there is a number that is too much for Bregman. You know, there is similarly.
It's got to be that Matt Chapman deal pretty much.
I think that's it.
6 years.
Six years, 151.
Right, and he's 1 year younger than Chapman. He's got about the same war, everything else. Very similar to that player in a lot of regards. And exact same agent. It almost feels like, and maybe this is lazy by us, but it almost feels like, well, that's the deal. Like Bregman, unless Bregman's got it in for Chapman and wants to prove it, you know, like he's gotta get, you know, a good chunk more than
him. I'll tell you what, this is a big postseason for Bregman.
Yeah.
You know, if Bregman goes out and lights it up in the postseason, that will entice some teams to start getting towards 170 or 180 over six for him.
Scott Boras says some teams have been inquiring about him as a second baseman.
It feels like that feels like you're taking away one of his superpowers.
He's
an excellent defensive third baseman. Second base is not where you park an elite defensive player.
Yeah, I don't think that deal is waiting for him as a second baseman.
No.
I don't think that's exactly why you would want him.
Yeah.
Him at third base and being so steadily when he'll get the gremlins taken out this offseason.
I don't think
teams will worry about that. It's probably just loose bodies floating around in there.
Kikuchi in the offseason is an interesting one. I could see where he would be enticed to come back here. You know, just...
Pitching
laboratory.
Everything
that
it's
right
done
now.
For his career.
Yeah.
It would be, in a way, it would almost be you could rectify the Charlie Morton mistake of the past.
A little bit.
You know, Charlie Morton became a different, completely different guy, and you're like, yeah, but he's old.
Again, like Bregman, let's wait and see what the postseason looks like for Kikuchi as well.
Yeah.
That matters, you know.
If Charlie Morton's in the postseason, I'm going to say, pay that dude.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. All right, let's get to the Texans. We've got Texans news. We're in headlines right now. Juice Scruggs, Jarrett Patterson, back at practice. Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, not back at practice. So let's start there. What is the impact of having Juice Scruggs potentially back in the lineup on Sunday?
I think that one thing that's plagued, I don't want to say plagued this offensive line, they're 2-0, but it's been some of the timing and coordination and not picking up blitzes or games. Blitzes are going to happen. You know, teams are going to beat you with a blitz at times. That's the whole reason you blitz. Every now and then it's going to come free. But the some of the simple stuff on the inside last week, both in the run and pass game, was glaringly bad at times. And I think with Juice Scruggs, he's still a work in progress, but I think it'll be better with him in there. But those three guys on the inside got to clean up. If they want to be a genuinely really, really scary offense, those three guys, the two guards in the center, have to clean things up. And I think Drew Scruggs at this point is just a cut above Patterson. So it'll be, I'm not sitting here in panic mode or anything over the offensive line. It's just a reminder that it is a work in progress. And right now, through just two games, Drew Scruggs has looked more dependable at center than Jared Patterson did.
Yeah, I'm glad Scruggs is back. Yeah. For sure, for sure. Brevin Jordan, we got clarity on this. I think it was Will Kunkel who had this yesterday.
Good job, Kunkel. Kunkel could do radio.
Torn ACL. Yeah, I like Will. Torn ACL mm-hmm. for Brevin Jordan. Torn ACL that he played with during the second half of the football game.
Yeah, he stayed out. He went out there and Elway'd it.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
Elway played his whole career with no ACL.
Yeah, that's true.
Some guys can and some guys can't. For Deshaun Watson might have been in this boat. You know, there's a lot of theories that,
Deshaun Watson in college played with a torn ACL.
Well, no, but also remember the theory was he officially tore his ACL in practice, but a lot of us wonder whether he actually tore it in the Seattle game the week before.
Oh, because there was a play. On the sideline
Some guys can function all right, and they don't even swell up that much. I played with a guy once who, like, tore his ACL in a game and didn't realize it until Wednesday practice. He got out there, and he's like, something's wrong.
Yeah.
At least when you get diagnosed in the moment, you're like, all right, this makes sense. It kind of sucks all of a sudden on a Wednesday afternoon to have some trainer be like, hey, by the way. Yeah, you've got this horrible, horrible
that
diagnosis.
Knee thing you've got going on, yeah. So Brevin Jordan.
So to get to the nuts and bolts of it, somebody asked us earlier, okay, how much does the loss of Brevin Jordan hurt?
Oh, yeah.
It's like any injury in football. It's not the end of the world, but it doesn't help. And right. I think especially when teams are doing everything they can to take away the deep ball right now across the league, but especially with the Texans. They're playing. The Texans are one of the teams that are being played by defenses in such a way that you've got Mel Kiper on ESPN saying they need to ban cover two. Right. The teams are just saying, all right, we're going to sit back here with two high safeties and just not let you hit the deep ball on us. That's where guys like Brevin Jordan, who kind of like, he's doing again this year what he had been doing last year, is you never know exactly when and where and how he's going to show up. He's just that. He doesn't have to have huge production or anything. Sometimes it's C.J. Stroud on his knees throwing from the high-gloss latex paint in Indianapolis or wherever it might be. So, yeah, he hurts. But it's not the end of the world because Cade Stover, obviously, is coming along in that same way. But it definitely hurts.
Big opportunity for Stover, no doubt about that.
It's like if you had
a
Swiss Army knife and you lose the scissors on there.
Yeah, I was going to say the corkscrew.
Yeah, the corkscrew. Yeah, something you don't use all the time. But...
says you. That's the most useful part of the Swiss Army knife for me, the old corkscrew. Aziz Alshire fined $11,000 for punching Roschon Johnson.
It's not bad.
On the sidelines. Yeah, I'd say it was worth it.
Oh, dude, Bears fans thought he was going to get a 3-game suspension.
Dude, thank you. That was some of the dumbest stuff coming out of this weekend. Like, is Aziz Alshire in danger of getting suspended? I'm like, no.
There's not even a single time. I never even thought of it until I saw that from Bears fans.
Yeah, like, no.
He punched him with his helmet on. The only thing, remember, Antonio Smith got suspended a game for swinging his helmet at Richie Incognito.
Right.
But Richie Incognito did not have a helmet on at the time.
Right.
And
right.
Richie Incognito deserved it in that game.
I agree.
That very play, Incognito had his hand up inside Antonio Smith's face.
Yep.
I digress.
Yep.
So, yeah, okay, $11,000. It all goes to charity. There
11K.
You go. Good job, Elshire.
Tax deductible.
You are a humanitarian.
Shohei Ohtani last night, I'll do this real quick, 6 for 6. 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, 2 stolen bases. In getting to the finish line for the first ever 50-50 home run and stolen base season.
What a
freak.
I saw yesterday somebody had a screenshot from a few years ago where it quoted an anonymous scout saying he wasn't going to be able to hit major league
18?
Pitching.
Yeah. I saw that.
Boy, yeah, you're really doing a... Good job, Moneyball, dude. You're the old fat scout. Dude. You're Philip Seymour Hoffman in Moneyball.
His box score looks comical. 6 for 6 with 10 RBIs and 3 home runs. That's crazy. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
Tommy John surgery. It's devastating.
Yep. Yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you. It's a football Friday, so let's talk some football. Hey, before we talk some football in the next segment, our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. And you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at t-mobile.com/switch. We're in week 3. This is a nice card of games. We're going to stack the card for you for this weekend's games. And at 7:20, we will do our first ever circle of swarm for the upcoming game. Circle of Swarm coming up at 7:20. We stack the card for you here at 7 o'clock.